And welcome back, footy fans, to unfortunately the last supporter series chat of this year. Welcome again. I am your host, Coach Donnie Hess, here back with another episode of Donnie's Disposals. And again, I want to preface this. Unfortunately, I was not able to get all of the supporters that I was looking for, but I wanted to be sure and get this one on. I have went back and forth with this gentleman for over a year. We've chit-chatted about his club, and I thought, let's get him on the podcast to talk about his beloved club. We'll save that for just a littlest bit for those that are listening to the podcast and not just watching the YouTube. We bring in from South Australia, Mr. Chris Brown. Chris, thank you for hopping on the podcast today.
Hi, Donnie. Thank you for getting me on. I appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome. Now, before we get into the footy again, I know this is a footy podcast. I like kind of finding out a little bit about the person that I'm chatting with outside of the game of football. So if you could, just a little bit about yourself outside of the game of footy.
Yeah, Donnie, there isn't much to talk about there because most of my life at the moment is about football, whether it's with Norwood or with my son's football. So when I'm not sort of occupied with those things, I'm running around after my kids and keeping up with the household chores and trying to get a little bit of sleep, much like yourself, I'm sure. Yeah, I do like to follow the cricket. I'm a member of the SA Cricket Association. I like to go down and watch games at Adelaide Oval. If you manage to get over here at some stage, you'll have to go down and have a look at Adelaide Oval. But the cricket there is very unique. They have a section out the back of the members area where you cannot actually watch the play. You can only see it on a screen. But there's thousands of people who just spend the day out there having a great time, drinking, eating good food, catching up with friends. It's a real hub and I've been to games of cricket there where I haven't actually seen a ball bowled. I've just spent all afternoon out the back of the cricket. So, yeah, I just enjoy catching up with sport and spending time with my kids and my kids' sport.
Fantastic, fantastic. So I gotta ask this, in footy mad South Australia, what is your favorite thing about the sport of football?
It's an interesting question, Donnie, because I think that's changed as you get a bit older. I think when you're younger, you like the tribalism, the us versus them, the I love my club and I hate every other club and I hate this one for this reason and I hate that one for that reason. But I think your or my love for the game of football matured a bit with time and it gets to a point where you start to, respect the other clubs, respect the other supporters. You get to know them on a different level. And I really think the camaraderie of the game is something that's really important to me. It's really been a constant in my life, football. And, we go to school and then we leave school and we do the next thing and then we start a job and we change jobs and so on. But football has always been a constant for me, no matter what's going on in my life. And so it's very important and very sentimental to me. And, in more recent times, as I said, I've really enjoyed to get to know supporters from other clubs, and you can still have banter and have a jibe or have a bet on a game with one another, but at the end of the day, you all still do have a common thread, and that's the great game of Australian rules football.
100% agree with that. I know that I my banter a lot of time is over the internet, but I love the fans. They're respectful for both ways, and we genuinely respect you as a fan for being a footy supporter. Absolutely love that. So I'm gonna have some fun with this next one. I know this isn't easy. I want you to go back in the, into the memories here. Earliest footy memory that you can recall.
Right. I reckon that would be going to the 1980 grand final which was between Norwood and Port at Football Park, where football was played when it left Adelaide Oval and before it went back to Adelaide Oval down at West Lakes. I went along with my grandmother, and Norwood did not have a good day. We were walking to the bus after the game to catch the bus home, and I was 9 years old, and I had my head down, and I looked on the ground, and there was a $20 note, which in 1980 was a fair few weeks' pocket money. And I picked it up, and it was a rainbow moment in an otherwise dark and cloudy day as a young supporter. And I always remember I took that $20 and I went and bought a very expensive Speedo to put on my bike. So
Fantastic.
that's probably my earliest memory.
I absolutely love it, but you love those cherished memories that bring back. It so as you kind of insinuated there, you are a Norwood Red Lakes supporter in the SANFL. So I gotta ask, how is it that you became a supporter of the club?
Well, it goes back to my grandma, actually. She was a widow. Her husband had died when my own father was only 12 years old, and she didn't have an easy life, but she really loved her football, and she just started taking me along to games. She didn't have a driver's license, so my mum and dad would drop me down there at about 11:30, and then we'd get on the bus at about 12 o'clock and we'd go off to the games together. And, you know, she would pack a little thermos with a hot chocolate in it, and she'd make some sandwiches that I didn't always like, but I ate out of appreciation for the effort. And, you know, she and I got to spend a lot of good quality time together doing that. You know, I would go down at different times and stay the night there or whatever at other times, but it was something that she did for me and she did with me. And that started, I reckon, when I was about 9 years old. And it just continued until she wasn't able to go to the games anymore for age and health reasons. But, you know, the tide turned and I got my driver's license. So instead of catching the bus, I'd go and pick her up and I'd drive her to the games, and she'd still make a sandwich and, you know, bring a drink and bring the cushions and these sorts of things. But, you know, it's a pretty sort of special memory. And her father was also a supporter of the club, and her husband and my dad and her daughter, my aunt. So they just sort of gave me the opportunity to go along to the games and enjoy the games. And it evolved through that, I think.
I absolutely love it. And the fact that it's Nan is the one that is the reason is absolutely fantastic. But I love this. I want to go here just because I've always been fascinated by this, and I know that with a lot of Aussie culture, sometimes when it's the parents or the grandparents are the reason that you support, sometimes you don't really have a choice. You kind of are kind of forced to. So I gotta ask, was there anybody in the family that broke away and decided to support another club? And if so, how's the banter between you and that family member?
Well, my family is a little bit like the Montagues and the Capulets, because my father's side are all Norwood and my mother's side are all Sturt. But my mother was not a particularly big football fan. She's more into tennis and different things. So she didn't really go about trying to make an impression on me in that respect. Her parents, my other grandparents, were very strong Sturt people, but I think they just kind of got beaten to the line by my other grandma. I don't know if there was a determination there between grandmas to get me to go one way or the other. But yeah, it I always had grand dreams that my, family history would be littered with Norwood people and Norwood achievements and great players and administrators and so on, and it just isn't the case for Norwood with me. But ironically, on my mum's side of the family, in the last couple of years, I've uncovered premiership players and Hall of Fame members and administrators and things about my grandparents' involvement with the club that I just really didn't have any great idea about. And so all of my hopes and dreams that I had for Norwood have all unfolded on the Sturt side of my family, but it's far too late to persuade me to go any other way now.
All right, I didn't put this in, but I'm just real quick question without notice. Have you ever wavered as a Norwood fan? Have you ever thought about, and I know for some people this is sacrilege in Australian culture, have you ever thought about switching clubs and moving over to Sturt?
Never, ever, once for a millisecond. Never, ever, ever.
Hey, I fully appreciate it. I know that there's some people that do switch clubs, and again, I let them because it's fandom, but I just have to ask because it really is the passion for your club is absolutely fantastic. So you and I have went back and forth because unlike some of my guests, this next question you know a lot about, and that is, can you tell me a little bit of the history of the club? Because you, sir, are a historian for Norwood. So let's not go full in depth here, but just kind of a quick little bio of Norwood's history, because I know this is a very, very well-known club and a very, very rich history at Norwood Red Lakes.
Yeah, so Norwood was established on the 28th of February, 1879. So in a very short space of days, we'll be having a 146th birthday. Actually, 1878. I got that mixed up because our first photo of the club is 1879, but 1878 was our first year. It came about when a few guys were talking about establishing a football team. They were associated with cricket. And as you're probably aware, Donnie, the game of Australian rules football was really, it really came about as a way for cricketers to keep fit in the wintertime. So there are a lot of historical links between cricket and football. And at Norwood, they were between particularly the Norwood Cricket Club and the And now the Norwood Football Club. The cricket club doesn't exist anymore. But they called a meeting, which they had at the Prince Alfred Hotel in Adelaide. And they needed to get, I think, 40 people to sign up as members, which they did. And then the next job was to find a home ground, which they did in the East Parklands of Adelaide. And by the first week of May, they were playing. They had some recruits from the Woodville Football Club, which had folded, and they had a few people who'd come over from Victoria, and they picked up a few juniors from local clubs, and away they went, and they won the premiership in their first year. After that, they won, I think, the next four premierships. All up, we've won, I think it's 32 premierships as a club. And that includes the inaugural women's premiership in 2017. We've had, I think, 12 McGarry medalists for the fairest and most brilliant footballer in South Australia. I've lost count of how many players have gone on to play in the AFL since the BFL expanded into the AFL. But we also used to have players go over to the VFL, and we had players from other state leagues who came and played for us as well. But Port Adelaide is the oldest club in the league, and then South Adelaide, Port's 1870, South's 1876, I think, Norwood 1878. So we're the third oldest club. But Australian Rules Football Clubs are some of the oldest sporting clubs in the world. It's quite incredible to think how old these clubs are when you compare them to English football or soccer clubs or baseball teams in the US. It's a testament to the longevity of the game and the fabric of the game and the culture of the country that the game is still as popular and growing in popularity today. I think we've had around about 1,540 players who've played league football for the men's team. I think we're probably around, I guess, 120 odd women's players, and wheelchair players would be around 20 wheelchair players. And of course, there's thousands who have played for the club, but didn't necessarily play a league game. And there's thousands of people who volunteered for the club or served as administrators and been supporters and so on. It's club itself is an inner suburban club of Adelaide in the eastern suburbs. You can actually, in fact, I did it last week. I walked from the ground into the city. So it's really within striking distance. It's just across the parklands. It's a vibrant cultural suburb of Adelaide. And yeah, we're very lucky with the history that we have, and we're very fortunate that we've got some great historical records and artifacts that do actually date back right to the first minute book from 1878 in our archival collection. So
Absolutely outstanding. And I love that. And again, I completely agree. It's kind of crazy when when I talk about footy, I tell people, I said, there are teams in Australia that are older than every single baseball team. This sport is older than baseball. And it's just to see their brains explode is kind of crazy. So it is for me, it's an amazing thing to have it and to for it to be as old as it is and still have clubs thriving is absolutely fantastic. So I'll ask this both is kind of a two-way question here. I know because you're a historian, you know this. Well, who would you consider for Norwood to be Norwood's biggest rival in the Sandful for as a club? And then for you personally, who do you think is the biggest rival for the Norwood Footy Club?
Well, absolutely, 100% is the Port Adelaide Football Club. Port Adelaide's, as I said, established 1870, Norwood 1878. Norwood won the first five premierships that it competed in. And the first year that it didn't win in 1884, Port won it. And over the years, the best part of 150 years, the two clubs have won nearly half of all the SANFL premierships. There have been some bitter battles on and off the field, but there have also been some incredible stories of camaraderie between the clubs. I mean, even only last week, there was a get together down at Port Adelaide between past players and officials of both Norwood and Port Adelaide, all just getting together and having a drink. They might have drawn blood on the field, but there's an enormous amount of respect between the two clubs. We actually have a trophy called the Gallagher Williams Cup or the Williams Gallagher Cup. It's actually engraved in both ways on the trophy. I think Norwood's won 17 or 18. I think Port's won 12 of those cups each year. There's very few players that move between the two clubs. I would say at most 15 or 20 in 146 years. 15 or 20 examples of a player going from Norwood to Port or from Port to Norwood. It's kind of an unwritten rule that that crossover just doesn't happen. And obviously, we've had some great grand final battles over the, all of the years. And I think Norwood's ahead on that ledger. And out of about just over 400 games, I think the record at the moment, and I'll stand corrected, but it's something like 203 wins for Norwood and 199 for Port. It's in that sort of vicinity. So to imagine having just over 400 games and then being virtually evenly split between the two clubs is another really good indication of the competition between the two clubs on the field and the respect and the rivalry there is very, very deep, and it's one of the oldest sporting rivalries in the world again.
Absolutely fantastic. And I love that, the history of that, which is kind of sad with, unfortunately, what Port Adelaide is thinking about doing. Unfortunately, we won't go into that one. I won't throw another question without notice on you for this particular one. So we'll stay a little bit in the past. I love this one. Can you remember the first ever Norwood item that you were ever given or bought?
I think it was a membership badge. When you buy your membership, you get a badge, and one comes out every year. The badges are kind of one part of the membership pack, which clubs just don't change. They just keep them coming. They started putting them out in about 1919, and they've been out every year. For over 100 years now, and they're a real collector item. They did do the same for the South Australian Cricket Association, but I think they stopped doing them in the late 80s. But as far as football goes, it's one item that is a continuous item that comes in your membership pack. You might get a hat one year, or you get a radio another year, or there's usually a sticker or something like that. But the membership badges just keep on coming, and they're a highly prized thing for the members. People often have them pinned on their caps or have them pinned on their coats. Collectors buy them, and I just loved membership badges when I was a kid, and my grandmother had a few, and she gave me a few, and my step grandparents had a number, and I still have some of their step badges, even though they're step, but they were their badges. And yeah, I just always loved the membership badge, and I think that's probably the earliest item I can remember having. I mean, it might have been a t-shirt, or it might have been a hat or a scarf, but the memory that resonates with me is the membership badge, and I'm always keen to see what our membership badge is going to look like when it arrives in the post each year.
Now, the one thing is, when I started becoming an international member, I started getting the pens and the badges and the hats and the scarves and everything like that. I always thought that was really fantastic. So it's a great way to connect with the club through that, with having those years to be able to go back and remember each season. Absolutely love it. So this next one is always fun because, again, I'm one of those. I really live for being a supporter. I really live for being a fan, and I know everybody kind of takes fandom or being a fan a little bit differently. So could you describe your fandom for Norwood Footy Club? I mean, you're a historian of the club, so it's hard not to say that there's a lot of passion for Red and for Norwood. So I gotta ask, can you describe to me your fandom of the Norwood Footy Club?
Yeah, fandom might be a little bit of a narrow term for me in a way, because I do obviously like going to games and watching games, but that's sort of, the typical supporter or the typical member does those things. For me, I like to be more involved than just going to the games. And actually, one sort of trait that I've noticed that I have had creep into my fandom, part of my support of the club, is that I don't really tend to organise very often to go to the games with other people. And I don't usually find myself fixed in one place at a game. I tend to just go along and walk in the gate and then wander around and run into somebody. And then I'll chat to them and then I'll move on and I'll wander on until I run into somebody else and then I'll stop and chat with them. And I end up just sort of, frog leaping from one friend to another friend to another friend. And quite often I get distracted from actually what I'm there to do, watch the game. And I have to, check on what's happening here, what's the score. And I can walk out of a game and not really sometimes have a great idea of what was going on in the game. So that I might be a little bit unique in that respect. I probably am a little bit unique in that respect. But I also like to, I like to talk to everybody, whether it's, a supporter who goes to the game, or it's, an official, it's a player, it's somebody with the board, it's a volunteer, it's an opposition supporter. I know a lot of opposition supporters that I'll catch up with at games, and the photographer John Emery. He's sort of semi-retired now this year, but so I really sort of spread myself around, and to me, my fandom is sort of beyond fandom. It's more about camaraderie, I guess, and the common factor is, the pigskin that's being chased all over the grass. And each, there's two teams out there trying to put it between the two big white sticks. But, that's the common element. But for me, it's not just about what's going on in the field. It's what's going on in the outer, what's going on in the stand, what's going on with the people, what's going on in every aspect of the game. And that's what sort of, gets my heart beating.
To each his own. Everybody does it differently. In fact, I love that you get around other mates at the game. Absolutely fantastic. So I think we've already kind of discussed this, but I just want to be sure. First ever Norwood game that you attended live.
Yeah, I mean, that is my first memory, that 1980 grand final. I can't swear that it was my first game. I can't even swear that that was my first season. I might have gone, to a game the previous season or two seasons before that. But, memories are important, and that is my earliest memory. And it was the low of losing the grand final, but the high of finding the $20 note on the ground. So that is sort of my first game memory, if you like. Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Like I said, you can have memories for different reasons, but I love that the $20 note is absolutely fantastic. So as I love this question just because, and for me, this is always so much fun because I know with people with children, this is always a great analogy is, and this is like picking your favorite child, favorite player of the past that's ever played for Norwood, and favorite player currently on the Norwood list.
Yeah, I'll deal with the second one first because that's probably easier. I think my favourite player on the list at the moment is Jack Hurd, number 35. He, is a defender, and he is just dour. And he's no fuss. He doesn't go out there to do anything other than do his job for his club, for his team. And for the enjoyment of the game. He's a very humble guy, very personal, pleasant guy. And 2022, when we won the grand final, he played with a broken wrist. And that's not easy to do for anybody. But when you're a player that's a defender that needs to spoil the game, that needs to be in contests, and your team's depending on you in those contests to get the ball out of there by any means possible. And to do that with a broken wrist was just outstanding. So for all of those reasons, he's probably my most admired player in the team at the moment. Historically, look, that is a really difficult question. I have admired lots of players and for lots of different reasons. Everybody that you ask about Norwood that's seen players like Aish and McIntosh and Michael Taylor and players like this will consistently rattle off those names, and they're all favourite players of mine. I don't know that I could pick one in particular. I did in more recent times. I had a real soft spot for a player called Brett Zorzi, who came over from Victoria. Brett really embraced the football club, still really embraces the football club. Great guy. You know, comes back whenever he can get back. Has a lot of good friends on and off of the field. And, you know, he came over as a midfielder for various reasons. He was made a defender, did a fantastic job as a fullback, was heart and soul of the team, great leader. Then there was a change of coach, and he got an opportunity to go back into the midfield, where he really excelled, and he won the Jack Udy Medal 2013, I think, for best on ground in the grand final, and he retired on that from memory. So he's a more modern example. Favorite children might be an easier question, and that's not easy either, but it's very tough, Johnny.
I know, and that's like I said, you have years of watching it. So I know it's not easy. So we'll change it. We'll go to the next question, because I think this is my favorite, because I always see the twinkle in the eye of my guests as I ask this question. Most memorable moment so far as a Red Lake supporter?
Yeah, another tough one, because there are many, and sometimes, you know, memorable moments are memorable for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But I think winning the 2022 grand final by a point, and I took along my two kids, and it was their first grand final. My son was 12, my daughter was 10. And it was a special game and a special result and a special finish. And for them to see that at their first grand final and to be there with them for that was really special. My daughter was saying to me when we were 17 points down with 6 or 7 minutes to go, she's saying, "I don't think we're going to win this, Dad." And I was looking at the scoreboard and seeing it was 17 points and thinking, well, that's three kicks. If we kick three straight goals, that gets us in front by a point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that happened. And it was just fairy tale stuff to be a supporter and to win a game like that in those circumstances. But to have my two kids either side of me and a few good mates and that there as well was really special. And I remember that day, for some reason, I got a bit excited and I woke up in the morning and I was playing Pat Benatar, all fired up. I don't know why that song just came to me, and I was just playing it on repeat and on repeat. And I just felt excited, you know, but nervous, but excited. Instead of feeling overwhelmingly nervous, I actually felt excited about the game. And then when we left the game, I remember just having a moment, and I was reflecting on what a incredible experience it was to be a part of that. And the thought occurred to me that I needed to kind of impress that on my kids as well. And so I said to them, I said, you know, later that night or the next day, I said, look, kids, what do you remember about that game? And they told me. And I said, because I want you to make sure that you always have those memories, because you might go to a lifetime of games and never see a game like that again, never experience a result like that again. And you've just seen it at your tender ages. And because this kind of experience might never, ever happen for you again, it's really important that you actually remember you were there, remember what your memories of that game are, and make sure that you cherish them forever. And really, that's the best advice that I want to give you right now. Of course, we've enjoyed the result, but just reflect on what you've seen and what you've been a part of, because that should stay with you forever.
100% agree. I think that's the one thing that when it comes to premierships, is they're never given. They have to be earned. So when they are, you have to kind of just take them in and enjoy them. So absolutely, absolutely love that. So we've done our little past section. We're going to go into a little bit more closer. And I know we're creeping ever closer to the Sandfall season, both in the women's and the men's. So your thoughts on last season, because I know coming off a premiership, there was expectations. Could Norwood be in the running for a repeat? Could we see a repeat in the Sandfall? And unfortunately, start of the season did not start off well. They kind of got into a hole and just never could recover, falling short of the finals last year, going 6-11-1. So your thoughts on Norwood's season last year, because I know it, as a Norwood supporter, it's probably very difficult to start the year coming off a premiership and to kind of stumble out of the blocks.
Yeah, look, on paper, it wasn't impressive. I mean, to win the premiership and then to lose your first eight games is not what you want to see. You know, your hopes are high, and you know, you think you're in your window of achievement, and you want to maximize all of the things that you can achieve whilst you're in that window. Things just won't pear shape for the men. But I'm a little bit pragmatic about it, because we kind of limped to the line the year before in 2022 with injuries and so forth. And, you know, in different circumstances, players would have been sent off to have surgeries and, you know, be ready for next year. But, you know, we persisted with having guys play with injuries and through injuries. And we won a premiership with that approach. That is in our record books. That's in our history books. And I think I'd happily trade 0-8 the following year if we won a premiership the year before at any time. Of course, we want to win all of the time, but in the circumstances of how we got that premiership, I was a little bit more pragmatic about it and said, look, you know, it is what it is, and let's just use, after 0-8, let's just use what's left of this season to learn what we can, look at some players, see whether they've got it or not. If we've got key players that need to have surgeries, let's get them in and get surgery, so we're all tickety-boo, ready to start the next season again. And I say it every year, but the start of the year is really, really critical to your team's performance for the whole year. We've only got an 18 game minor round season these days. You get a lot of turnover that occurs at every team. And everyone is sort of starting each year on a bit of an even playing field. It's almost really hard to be in a window of 2 or 3 years these days where you can hope to have an extended period of success. The pressures on players, for career, for their time commitments and so on these days at SANFL level are really significant. And the financial rewards aren't necessarily great. And so when players win premierships, that you'd like them to stick around, but you can understand them saying, yeah, I always wanted to win a premiership. I'm 28, 29 years of age now. I'm just happy to go and play with my mates. So I'm just happy to go and play somewhere where I might only have to train once or twice a week. And, you can understand that. So I think you really have to go 2-2 with your first 4 games to be any chance of getting somewhere. I mean, it can be done not 0-4, or it can be done 1-3, but you kind of have to get the jump on your opposition early in the season, because if you can beat a team in round one, who then goes on and wins 15 of their last 17 games, well, you've kind of pinched 2 points from them right at the get-go, haven't you? So, being at the starting line, being fresh, being up and about is really important. And I'm a lot more optimistic about this year because, not having such a good year on the back of our premiership the year before, in 2023, I hope has set us up well for a good year this year. So I'm pretty optimistic that things are going to be a bit better, but let's just wait and see how we gel as a team, how the other clubs are gelling as a team, new coaches, new players, players who've left. And it's just a lottery, really, the first 3 or 4 weeks in lots of ways.
Yeah,
As for the women, sorry, Donnie, the women were our most successful 2 teams last year. I don't think any of our men's teams made finals, 16s, 18s, reserves, or league from memory. The development league team last year went undefeated and played in a one-off grand final and got narrowly beaten, but they made the grand final. And the women's league team lost the narrow preliminary final last year as well. So they're looking good at the moment. Once again, we've had a change of coach at league level and at the development league level. We've had a little bit of turnover within the squads. And last year, our teams were kind of filled with players who were sort of in their late 20s or 16 or 17 quite often. And not much in the middle. We've got some really good, talented girls that are coming through the system. And the girls that are just starting to come through into the open age groups now, the development league and the league teams, these are girls that have perhaps had an opportunity to start with Auskick and start with girls' teams at under 10s or under 12s or under 14s, and they've now got 5, 6, 7 years of playing football under their belts, and there's still girls and women who are playing who only have taken up the game, 4 or 5 years ago, and they're in many ways sort of learning the game. And the game is getting better in terms of standard and quality and skills. And so I really think that the next few years, we're going to see a bit of a terminal leap, if that's the right expression, a quantum leap with the standard and the quality of teams. So I'm really optimistic about the girls again this year. And likewise, I'm optimistic about the men for the reasons that I just gave.
Yeah, I like I said, I know you and I connected with all of my chatting when it comes to the Norwood women, and again, and I completely agree with you. I think last year they were a pleasure to watch. I kind of felt bad for them at the start of the year. I felt like a jinx because they lost a few games because I was definitely keeping track of them. So we'll hop back into it. We'll hop back into the men's side just for the littlest bit. And do you keep, as somebody that, again, you're connected to the club being a historian, do you keep an eye on their off season moves and your thoughts on the men's side of some of the players that they've brought in for this particular season coming up?
I do pay attention to it, but I don't give much credence to it. A lot of recruits that come into clubs, recruits that have come from amateur league clubs, or they might be internal recruits that have come up from junior grades. You get a few recruits who come from interstate, and you invariably get a few that have come off of AFL lists. So I pay attention to names and so forth, but I don't really put too much credence on it. On paper, with the turnover that you get from one year to the next, it's really up to the coaching group to make sure that they get the balance right with filling the gaps in skills that need to be filled, and then making sure that they get the right people that you want to have in your team and around your club, and that you need in your team and you need around your club. And then the third thing is making sure that it all comes together, that everybody gels and everybody gets on. And that's really down to the coaching group to get the best combination that they can get from one year to the next. And comparing notes on who's coming back and who's not coming back and who's left and so forth. We all do it, but I just don't place a lot of great weight on it myself. I just wait and see how things pan out. And usually it's, a few weeks before anyone's really got some sort of perspective on how any club's looking from one season to the next.
Yeah, each year is different, and there's always going to be some growing pains and some changes on it. So as much as the flashy new toy can sometimes seduce some fans, is that sometimes you just have to kind of let it play out and see how it goes. So
yeah. We've got Cooper Early back from the AFL, and we've got Alistair Lord back, I think, from the AFL. These are guys who've been delisted from AFL clubs. They went as juniors. They don't have they have experience, like time experience, with the AFL clubs, but they're not coming back with 30, 40, 50 or 100 games. They'll come back and they'll be a benefit to the club from their time on a professional list, but you just have to wait to see how it all comes together. Every club does.
Yep, 100% agree. So, and I know I wrote this with the next question. I wrote this a long time ago, and I kind of keep it, but I kind of really wish I would change it. And what are your expectations for next year? And again, I know expectations for some people is I expect this to happen, and not everybody handles it that way. So your thoughts on next year? Do you have any expectations? Is this a Norwood team you think has a chance to make finals next year or this year?
Look, our expectation every year is to make finals, and our expectation is that we win grand finals. So that's my expectation for all of the club's teams, from under 14s to league, from men to women to wheelchair football. And that's the club's expectation as well. I always think that we are a chance to make finals every year. We should have the right culture after 146 years to be able to do that. From, time to time, you'll have an aberration for one reason or another where it doesn't happen. And you just have to expect that. That's part of sport. But my expectation is that we should be aiming to make finals. And, for some of our teams, we should be aiming to get to grand finals. And for one or two of them, we should be aiming to get some silverware across the board every year. And it's just as simple as that, really.
100% agree with you. So I want to have a little bit of fun with this next question, just because I know that over here in the States, everybody wants to be the general manager or the list manager, as they say a lot in Australia. And everybody, I can do a better job than. So I always have a little bit of fun with this one at the end of this. Is I want you for one day. I'm going to install you as the list manager for the Norwood Senior Men's Team, and I want you can pick off or poach one player from any of the other teams in the Sandful. Who's that one player that you would bring over to Norwood to maybe get them over and make sure they make finals this upcoming season?
It's an interesting question, Donnie. It's not something I typically
Think
give
about.
thought to. I know last year I saw a women's game and there was a young girl playing for Sturt called Monique Besson, and I was really impressed with her. She was one of these players that just stood out and caught my eye. She seemed to just run and run and run. She seemed to get the ball and seemed to have really good skills. And you play teams twice a year, and you expect that in those games you're probably going to get different players in the best player list each time, aren't you? But she struck me as one person when I was watching her that I was just going to expect to see consistently in the best players for Sturt, and was going to probably go on to a higher level. For the men, possibly another Sturt player, Casey Voss. He's just been super consistent, super reliable. Always polls well in the McGarry medal votes. So he'd be perhaps somebody that I'm, might like to have come across the Norwood.
Those are always fantastic. Now, my next question is normally about the women, and as we kind of talked about earlier, is one of the reasons we can we one of the reasons we connected was because of the women, and we went back and forth. I know that you and I had talked about Allie Farrell, who, like I said, I had the pleasure of sitting down and talking with, and she has become quite a great friend of mine now. And then all the congrats to her husband Brad on becoming the senior league coach. So we will kind of skip the women's and go to my next question. I know we've talked Sandful. We're going to just do the tiniest bit of the AFL, just the tiniest bit, I promise, but we'll try to keep it short. Do you have an AFL side? Do you keep track of the AFL? And if so, who is it?
Look, I'm a bit of an anomaly again here. I started out pre-AFL supporting Collingwood because a lot of Norwood players seem to end up transferring to Collingwood. Now, this was the days before we had drafts and things like that. And for whatever reason, there seemed to be quite a few Norwood players end up at Collingwood. So I used to like to keep an eye on Collingwood. 1987. There was a player, famous player for Melbourne called Robbie Flower. It was his last season, and there was this wave of sentiment from supporters from clubs everywhere who suddenly wanted Melbourne to do well for Robbie Flower in his last year. And I got sort of caught up in that bandwagon a little bit, and I really wanted Melbourne to do well. They're red and blue as well. They have a song, Grand Old Flag. which Norwood has the grand old flag, albeit with a few different words. So they were easy to identify with for a range of reasons. And then when the Crows came in, I actually knew quite a few guys who were invited out to, you know, be in the initial training list or who were in the initial team and so on. And so I then started paying a bit more attention to them. And so I haven't been rock solid AFL supporter. And my loyalty to the SANFL has always been over and above the AFL. I do keep an eye on it, but it doesn't govern my football life.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I know that my Glenelg supporter, who I chatted with earlier, is very much an SA person and still calls the AFL the VFL in his personal opinion, which I got a kick out of and absolutely loved. So, and I have absolutely no problem with that. I love the banter. It's absolutely fantastic. And the fact that the big V and SA are playing in a game this year around Gather Round would be fantastic, which is actually a great transition to my next one. I know it's AFL, but Gather Round happened in Adelaide last year. And I know the one thing is the parade where Norwood plays had a couple of AFL games, have the luxury of playing on the ground. Your thoughts on Gather Round last year? Because personally, I was a little leery. I think SA and Adelaide did very well hosting Gather Round this year. And I'm very much looking forward to Gather Round again this year.
Yeah, look, I think even for someone like me who wasn't that, you know, who isn't that endeared with the NFL, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the talk about it around the water coolers. I enjoyed people talking about, oh, yeah, I've got tickets for this game or that game. I think the most important thing around the success of Gather Round was what happened off the field. And, you know, all the different AFL clubs got allocated to go and do training sessions at different SANFL grounds in particular, and at Mount Barker. Who was it? Sydney actually went to St. Peter's College and did their training session there. And it was great. Like, I went with my son to see Carlton train at Unley. I went to Prospect to see Melbourne train. I went to West Adelaide to see another team train. I went to Norwood. I saw Fremantle train there. And, you know, the clubs were all really good about it. It was just a captain's run. It was just a light run round, kick a few balls and more of a fan engagement sort of an experience. And the kids just loved it. It was school holidays, I think, and you know, parents loved it because it was a free thing that they could take their kids to. Kids were getting photos, clubs were handing out things, SANFL were handing out autograph sheets, businesses were doing well out of it. They had a big sort of a kind of a festival set up between Adelaide Oval and the Festival Theatre. They put zip lines across the River Torrens. I went to both of the games at Norwood Oval. I didn't go to any Adelaide Oval, and I really enjoyed it. It was great to see the ground full. I sat up in the southern stand, in and amongst a whole heap of Hawthorn supporters, and the Hawthorn chant went up, and it just reverberated across the ground. We got some great drone footage of the ground for the Gather Round games. Got lots of things for the historical collection for Norwood Oval. I just think it created a really good buzz around the town. And from what I saw, I think generally speaking, the people who came from interstate really enjoyed it as well. because it was just sort of game, you know, there wasn't too much overlap. People really enjoyed, like, where am I going to fit in going to buy some Haig's chocolates, or where am I going to fit in for that cellar door tasting, you know, because I want to see that game and I want to see that game. And a lot of people might have moved to Melbourne from, you know, Adelaide or whatever, and they go and watch a team, but they can't watch Adelaide or Port Adelaide play every week. But, you know, to be able to see teams that they want to go and watch play, I think it was a good concept. And I think it's great to have it for a few years, but I think it's the kind of thing that does need to be shared around. And you know, I think it'll be really good, for example, if the first year that the Tasmanian team plays in the AFL, if they put gather round in Tasmania. I know logistically it'll probably be a little bit challenging, that they'd have to use probably Belrive Oval, and where they play cricket, and use York Park in Launceston, and you know, it's difficult with big teams and so forth. But if they could do a version of Gather Round, or do a full Gather Round in Tasmania for when Tasmania have their team in the first year, I think a lot of people are really keen to have Tassie in the competition, and it would really encourage people to get down there.
No, completely agree. Like I would love that. I know that, like I said, SA's got the contract for a few years, so completely understand that. But yeah, that would be cool to be able to open up Tassie down there with a gather round in Tasmania. That'd be fantastic. So I'm interesting as somebody from SA, I'm interested on this next one, because I know this year in the AFL they're doing this kind of round zero where they're kind of infiltrating rugby league territory in New South Wales and Queensland with a few of the bigger Victorian teams. Your thoughts on this as a footy supporter, and not since we're not really in the AFL kind of talk here, as a footy supporter, is this a good thing for footy growth in New South Wales and Queensland to get primetime games to start off the season up in the northern up in the northeastern states?
I'm a little bit skeptical of it myself, Donnie.
Not a problem.
I think if you're doing your job well, the rest follows. And there's obviously competitive tension between Australian rules football and rugby league and rugby union and other growth sports like soccer and basketball. I mean, even in baseball, you know, Australia, for its population, is very thinly spread between a lot of sports, and it does pretty well for itself, in terms of getting people to play the game and competing on the world stage. And for round zero, I'm just a little bit skeptical that this is not being done for the right reasons. It's being done for commercial reasons, being done for code rivalry, commercial reasons. And if that's your raison d'être, then it kind of makes it hard for it to succeed, doesn't it? And if other people see it the same way, they're not gonna go and watch those games in Queensland, you know. I'll be fair and reasonable to the AFL, and I'll just play the wait and see card, but that's my initial feeling about it at the moment.
And I've said this on a couple of podcasts that I've asked this, and it, again, I'm a Sydney supporter, so the New South Wales connection. I understand the thought process. I just don't think they thought it fully through. I'm almost kind of one of those where rugby league has Magic Round, which is kind of what Gather Round is kind of loosely based on. I'm on honestly, the only way you're going to make this work a little bit is just if you look at the NRL fixture and go, okay, when is Magic Round? Okay, Magic Round is round 8 for, again, I'm spitballing here for anybody that's a rugby league supporter. Then why don't, since most of the time Magic Round is in Brisbane, why don't you do Gather Round in Sydney the week that Magic Round is in Brisbane? Because then at least you do get, you're in an area where you're not going to have any competition for the rugby league, because all of the Sydney-based teams will be up in Brisbane. I just don't think this was fully thought through, because there are still rugby league games in Sydney and in Queens and in Queensland and Brisbane and the goal or in Brisbane, to the point where you're not the only thing in town. There's going to be rugby league teams. I just think it was a quickly thought through, not very thoroughly thought through idea. It's kind of cool for the northeastern states, for the rugby league states, to get these primetime footy games again with some of the bigger Victorian teams that they know the victims, the Vic fans will go, and the Victorian following fans that are in New South Wales and Brisbane will go. But I just don't think it's the splash that I think they want it to be. Like, I'm fully with you. I'm very skeptical of it. Like I said, my team's playing in the first game of the round. It's kind of cool, but I'm still kind of skeptical about whether this was really thought through really well. I think it's just kind of it's a patchwork job that I'm just not sure it was
Yeah, and
fully thought through.
even calling it round zero is a big clue to me that it's intended to penetrate the psyche as, and it just sounds a little bit gimmicky.
I 100% get it there. Totally getting totally with you on that one. So all right, we'll jump off the pylon on AFL House here. So and as you know, you and I have went back forth. In fact, I will fully say this to the people on the podcast. This gentleman here is the reason that when I first started saying that I want to get over there, it's my bucket list to get over to Sydney and Melbourne. He kind of gave me a little bit of stink on Twitter and was like, hey, why don't you want to come to Adelaide? So that's why I started Adelaide and then eventually Perth. So you know, as I said, I've not been to Australia. It is on my bucket list. So when I go, I want to be fully prepared. I want to be ready. So when you go to the footy, sir, what is your go-to food at the footy? Or do you eat at the footy?
Yeah, pretty easily pleased. I like a bucket of hot chips, especially when it's cold. And I do like a sausage in bread. You can't, not all grounds have a barbecue, I don't think, but the barbecue being cooked there in front of you and getting something straight off of the hot plate is so much more satisfying than the pie heated up in the pie warmer or something like that. So, yeah, they're probably my two go-tos. I like to sometimes have a beer at the football as well. Yeah, I'm pretty easily pleased like that,
There's nothing
Donnie.
wrong with that. Hot chips has made quite the jump up in the last few months of the episode on the show, because I know originally meat pies rocketed out to the top, but hot chips has really come roaring back into it. In fact, it might even be the most popular one since I've talked about that. I know the snag is very popular in Australia as well. So I asked this as somebody that you get to go to the parade, which is a beautiful ground. Where is your go-to place to sit when you go to the footy?
If I'm sitting, I like to be central, ideally. So that for us would be in the western stand, which runs on the western side of the ground, ironically, north south. If I'm just going to watch the, I have two kinds of games that I go to. I have games where I say, I'm going to watch the game today, or I'm going to the game today. If I'm going to watch the game, it means I actually have to not do my walk around the ground and these sorts of things. And I need to actually sit somewhere and watch it for whatever the reason is. Then that's where I like to be. Otherwise, we have the southern stand as well. And at other grounds, I think whatever ground you go to, there's usually a place that you sort of gravitate to for one reason or another. It might be a pocket. For Gather Round last year, I actually walked the whole ground and I spent some time standing behind the goals just to enjoy watching the AFL players kick the ball through the goal and the crowd get involved in a in a big way and so on. But it was also good to look at the game from different angles and there's lots of places that you can do it. But yeah, for sitting, I like to be central on the wing if I can.
And that's the most popular one is if there is a second level on the wing, especially for the AFL grounds. Then I know that on the wing, just up high enough that you kind of get above the level of the players is perfect. So, and then I always end my
When you
episodes.
come to Oval, Donnie, when you come to Norwood Oval, you'll get to come along to Norwood Oval and you'll see that the Western Stand, you are almost sitting on top of the play. You're really close to the action. You can hear what's being said on the field. You can hear the players going bump into one another. You can hear the umpires talking. It's a very unique grandstand, and it's compulsory viewing for any football supporter, Donnie. So we'll look forward to your review of watching a game at Norwood Oval.
I'm crossing my fingers, toes, and everything like that I can get over there as soon as possible, because again, I will definitely take it up. I know the parade is one of those places I have to go see. So we always end the episode. Since then, I'm starting a catalog, and some of these have been fantastic. Favorite game of footy you have ever seen, live, at the ground, on the telly, doesn't matter. Favorite game of footy you have ever seen.
Well, I think it would be the 1997 grand final, which again was between Norwood and Port. Norwood hadn't won a grand final for 13 years. In fact, the last time they won a grand final before that, 1984, Norwood also beat Port Adelaide. And 1997, we had a bit of an all-conquering year. Jim West won the Ken Farmer medal for kicking the most goals, and Andrew Jarman won the McGarry medal, I think, and John Cunningham won the Jack Odie medal for best on ground, and we won the Thomas Seymour Hill Cup, and we did it in style. And there's nothing better than winning a grand final when you actually get to enjoy the game. It's really tense when it's close and you're not sure which way it's going to go, and you're either devastated if it's a narrow loss or you're elated if it's a narrow win. If you are comfortably in front and you can just sit back and relax and enjoy the game, it's really good. And what was kind of special about that was that game was actually the week after the AFL Grand Final, and the Adelaide Crows had won the 1997 Grand Final, which was their first premiership. And two Norwood players had played in the Adelaide Crows Grand Final, Brett James and Aaron Keating. And the way things were at the time, they were actually able to come out and play for Norwood the next week. And I think there was one, if not two, players who actually played for Port that day as well. But those two guys got to win two premierships in 2 weeks, which will probably never be done again. And it was special for the year that we had and everything, but it was kind of special for another reason. It was the first grand final we'd won where I was old enough to celebrate it as an adult and have a few drinks to follow. And I certainly made the most of that. And so I think after not seeing a win for 13 years and being old enough to celebrate and the way it all unfolded, just it's not necessarily the favorite game I've ever seen, but for the reasons I've given, there are lots of really good memories that go with that game.
Fantastic. Absolutely love it. So, Chris, that is it. That is going to do it for the episode. It is so much fun to be able to sit down and chat. I know we went back and forth and had a lot of fun chatting about Norwood and some different things that you have been working on personally. But I want to thank you for hopping on the podcast and sharing your love of the Norwood Footy Club with me today.
Yeah, and can I just thank you, Donnie, for all the interest that you show in our game. And I don't just mean our game, but I mean our leagues, our men, our women, our juniors, our clubs, our grounds. And for all of that to come from somebody who lives in Des Moines, Iowa, USA, it's a pretty phenomenal story in and of itself, Donnie. And you're also coaching the Des Moines Roosters, and big shout out to Beth and Emily and your cohort in those parts. But yeah, for someone to put as much time and effort into the game across the country is remarkable, Donnie, and hats off to you as well. Thank you for your interest in our game.
Well, I appreciate it again. I love this sport. I've fallen in love with it. Like I said, it's something that has just it's captured me again. I think sometimes some of my friends over here think I'm crazy because I get up at 2 in the morning to watch footy. And I've become a footy head. I'm a footy nuffy to use the full on term. So it's been fantastic. And I know I will make sure and let my friends over here know that for the shout out. That is fantastic. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for the end of our podcast. Unfortunately, again, that is going to end the supporter series again. More previews, the AFL preview still to come, and then we start season and week round reviews. The Sandful W and the Waffle W get started in a week. I am going stir crazy because I can't wait for my footy to be back. So keep an eye out. More footy coverage still to come on the channel. Keep an eye out. More footy. Cannot wait. We'll be back again with another episode of Donnie's Disposals very, very soon, and we will talk again in the